Been talking about unwrapped gifts, and we're in this series as we look at the various gifts that God has given to mankind. And we've unwrapped the gift of giving. We've unwrapped the gift of insight. And today we're going to talk about unwrapping fellowship. But I want to do that in the context of the gift of mercy. Because I think it's so foundational to us living in fellowship with one another. We began to talk a little bit about this in Sunday school class this morning, about grace and mercy. But what does it look like to live in fellowship with one another if there is no grace and mercy? Well, it kind of becomes impossible. But as we look at that, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, which is where we're getting the first part of this series from, as he talks about God giving different gifts according to the grace given to us. And at the end of verse 8, he says, if this gift is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now that's an interesting instruction. Sometimes we show mercy because we're forced to, or we think it's appropriate or it's expected, and we're not all that happy about it. And God says, if we're implementing this gift of mercy, then there ought to be a cheerfulness about it. There ought to be that joy that Randy talked about in Sunday school class this morning. But as I thought about that, and I mentioned this in each of these messages so far, I'm not convinced that this list of gifts, of spiritual gifts that God gives to His children, is meant to be a smorgasbord style where we just go through and pick out what we want and just ignore the rest of it. You know, I go through those buffet lines and I load my plate up with meat and I put more meat over here and then I put some more meat over here. And occasionally I might throw a potato or two of some kind, but for some reason my plate ends up with absolutely no green on it. My doctor says I ought to be eating green stuff more often. I says, does mint ice cream count? And she wasn't so thrilled with my answer. But we look at God's Word sometimes and we think we can take what we like and, well, somebody else can have the rest. They'll probably like that more than I do. And while there are varying degrees of this gifting in our life, as I began to think about mercy, I began to think in my mind, not that you need to answer out loud or anything, but how many of you have the gift of mercy? Now, our first thought may say, well, I don't. I'm just not good at that. But the reason we say that is because we think about our practicing it. Where in reality, as a believer in Christ, you have the gift of mercy because you've received it from God. Without His mercy, we're lost. We're doomed. We're in trouble. And so, if we've received it, the Bible says what you've received, you ought to give. And while the gift of mercy in the sense that we typically talk about spiritual gifts may not be high in your life, it may not be primary or dominant, God has called all of us to receive His mercy, to receive His grace. The difference is grace is God giving us something good that we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us the bad that we do deserve. And they work together. That's why I love this song that we sang just prior to the message. It's because they work together to reveal to us the nature of God and how we ought to reveal that nature to others by living and expressing grace and mercy to them. So we're going to be spending most of our time this morning in the book of James, chapter 2, as we talk about this gift of mercy. What does it look like as we live it out? As I say from time to time, this book, this Bible, God's Word, is not simply designed so that we have more information in our head. It's designed so that we have a transformation of heart, a change of mind, a new direction in life. And as we look at this gift of mercy, I want us to look at five different things that I believe it entails that help shape how we use it, how we apply it, and how we benefit from it. The first thing that I want us to consider is this gift of mercy is a gift of ministry. It's designed for us to use for the benefit of others. James chapter 2, verse 12 says, to speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Now that's a powerful verse. Because if we stop short, there are times that we want to speak and act as those who are judged by the law. We want to speak and act towards others as them being those who are judged by the law. And in doing so, we can be easily become very judgmental, very condemning. But James doesn't simply say to speak and act as those being judged by the law. He says to speak and act as those being judged by the law that gives freedom. The reason, and the Bible makes it clear, the reason that the law, God's word, gives us freedom because it reveals to us our need for Jesus. It points us in the direction of a Savior. It shows us that we're lost, that we're sinful, that we need a transformation of heart and mind. But this gift of mercy that begins with this gift of ministry says, I'm going to look at people differently. I'm going to treat people differently because I'm looking at the law that gives freedom rather than the law that gives condemnation. It's very easy to look at the actions of someone else and in our mind say they deserve punishment. And this gift of mercy says they may well deserve punishment just as I deserve punishment, but I'm choosing not to give it. Number one, it's not my place to give it. But number two, I want to represent the nature of God, the nature of Jesus. I want to minister to my brothers and sisters in Christ and those who are not yet in Christ. And so the gift of mercy gives us the opportunity to be involved in ministry. As we love people, as we share the good news of Jesus. Wednesday night, Philip baptized Adriana Scott into Christ. As a part of that gift of mercy, that recognition that God's mercy is enough for any of us. Enough for us, enough for any person that we'll meet this week. But the gift of mercy is not just a gift that brings us to ministry, it's also a gift of equality. Now, not inequality necessarily as the world wants to shape it, where it almost becomes a communistic, socialistic, we all stoop to the lowest common denominator. This is an equality of value in the sight of God. It's also an equality of need in the sight of God. We pick up in verse 13 of James chapter 2. The reason why we speak and act as those judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. mercy triumphs over judgment. And we recognize that the lack of mercy comes back to haunt us. It infects us in a way that, well, destroys us. And we look to God and we discover this gift of mercy brings an equality that I need that mercy just as much as the next person does. The law brings freedom because I need it and you need it. And because we both need it in equal measure, I have no place to condemn you or to judge you or to somehow think badly of you because your sin might be different than my sin. That equality says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We want the equality to say we're all good people, but we're all sinners in need of a Savior. It's often been said that the ground at the foot of the cross is level. We all come on equal footing. We all come with an equal need. And this gift of mercy says there's an equality in our need for Christ, and therefore we express the message of Christ equally to all people. The message Jesus gave to his disciples and to us at the end of the Matthew's gospel. So as they go into all of the world and preach the gospel. All of the world. Wherever you go, they need to hear the gospel. Wherever you go, they need to see the gospel. There's no place that you would ever step foot that deserves the gospel of Jesus less than anywhere else, nor any place that would deserve the gospel of Jesus more than anywhere else. This gift of mercy says there's an equality in our lostness that through Christ brings us to an equality in our salvation. Because we all came from the same depth of sin, when we're rescued and pulled out of that by Jesus, we're all lifted to the same place. So within the body of Christ, there aren't those that somehow are better than others, that are somehow elevated over others. We're all in this because we all needed the mercy of God and we've all received the mercy of God. And this gift of mercy is not just a gift of ministry and equality, it's also a gift that brings us to reflection. I want to kind of back up just a little bit. I've kind of taken this chapter and pulled it apart and using it a little bit out of order so that my acrostic fits. I want to back up to verse 10. We've looked at verses 12 and 13. Now I want us to look at verse 10 and 11. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. And this gift of mercy calls us into this action of reflection where we choose to examine our own life. As I said, in different times, I've already mentioned it this morning a little bit, we tend to, in our mind at least, have a list of sins that we think are reprehensible and that we ought to call out in the life of anybody that we see doing it. Conveniently, that list that we create in our mind rarely includes the sins that we commit. And God's desire is that we would live with this life of reflection that first examines our own self. And Jesus tried to make the comparison, and he says, the problem with judging others, the problem with pointing out the sin in the lives of others is generally their sin is this speck in their eye where your sin is this plank. And because you've got this plank sticking in your eye, you can't really see clearly anything. Then he doesn't say to ignore the sin of others. In fact, he says to deal with the plank in your own eye, to take care of your own sin, to repent and confess and to go to God and to make the changes and the transforming nature of his Spirit in your life to cleanse you of that. Then go to your brother. Because when you take care of your own, it brings about a different attitude when you go to someone else. It brings an attitude of mercy. Jesus would teach often that the one who is forgiven much will love much. And when we have this attitude of reflection in our gift of mercy, we recognize how wretched we are when we compare ourselves to the holiness of God. We're pretty good at comparing ourselves to those around us that, well, don't live as well as what we do. Their sins are more obvious. Oh, I'm better than that person. I would never do what they did. Look at them. We're not so good at comparing ourselves to the Holy God. Because it reveals in us a light, his light, that reveals in us a darkness that only his light can expel. And as we reflect in our own life, we begin to grow in this gift of mercy. We understand, I needed the mercy from God that I received. And not only did he give me the mercy that I needed, he went above and beyond and gave me grace. All of the things that I didn't deserve. The goodness of his Spirit dwelling within me. And so this reflection that we live with ought to grow the mercy in our life as we realize we're just as much in need as that person that we'll encounter that we believe is in need. This gift of mercy is a gift of ministry. It's a gift of equality. It's a gift of reflection. It's also a gift of compassion. It's a recognition that we join in the suffering of others. It's the nature of compassion. I see the hurt of someone else and I hurt. I see the misery of someone else and I feel misery. I join together, not for the purpose of throwing a big pity party and we're all much sadder for it, but for the purpose of understanding and helping and lifting. You read through the book of Job, and the one thing that I believe that his friends got right, there's a lot of things they got wrong, and most of the book is about what they got wrong. But the one thing they got right is at the very beginning, they simply came and they sat with Job in silence. They joined in his suffering. Now, unfortunately, their actions were a lot like ours. We join in someone else's suffering for a time, and then we think that that small amount of time makes us the expert on how to solve it. And these friends of Job thought they were the experts. Their compassion ran out. And then they moved into the position of fixer. And they weren't supposed to be the fixer. God was the fixer. You read the entire book and God fixed it in a way no one else could. But this act of compassion that God calls us to, It identifies the fact that we understand I don't deserve mercy. We understand they don't deserve mercy. But because we both need it, we're going to sit together in our suffering and find it. Jumping down to James chapter 2, verse 14. He says, "What good is it if a man claims to have faith but have no deeds? Can such faith save him?" What good is it to say that you have mercy, but you don't show it? What good is it to claim a relationship with God, and yet you're mean to people? This act of compassion. Verse 15 says, "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. What will you do?" We have two main choices. There's probably other variations built within it, but one is you do nothing. Say, good luck. I remember a time where I had no food and nobody helped me, so you're on your own. One approach that's often taken. The other is the gift of compassion. I remember a time when I had no food and I really wished somebody would help me, but I didn't know how to get help. I didn't even tell anybody I had no food. And I understand what you're going through. How can I help? What is it that you need? You see, there's a difference in how we respond. We may experience the same experiences in our life, but one has compassion and the other says, "Tough it up, I did." And sometimes we do that because we're carrying a hurt or a bitterness in our own life. Sometimes we do that because we fail to see how God did provide. We sit back and we throw our own pity party and say, "Well, nobody helped me." And that when we look back, we realize God helped us all along. We just wanted it done differently. And God's desire is that in this gift of mercy, we have compassion on those that we encounter that need mercy. Now, in case you're wondering, everybody that you encounter this week will be someone that needs mercy. They may or may not look like it, but they do. And every one of you in this room, including myself, are one of those individuals that need mercy. We don't do things perfectly. We mess up. We make mistakes. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Sometimes we're not even aware of it, and yet somebody says, "I saw what they did." And we need mercy. God makes it clear that when we pursue Him in a godly way, that mercy triumphs over judgment. He said that. We looked at that. And we do that when we live with compassion. We see those that are hurting. And our heart hurts. And we want to do something. I remember, I think I've told this story years ago, but when I was in fourth or fifth grade, our school class, the fifth grade or whatever grade it was, went to the park for an afternoon field day. And the park wasn't very far from the school. We would just all line up and walk down to the park on these rare occasions that we would get to go to the park. And it was a great day, and I think we had a picnic or something. And during the activities and day, one of my classmates was doing the things that we boys like to do, and we were on the swings and seeing how far we could, how high we could swing, and then how far we could jump if we would leap off of that swing at the highest point that we could reach. And that was kind of the thing. How far out can we get? Well, one of my classmates did that and hurt his ankle and was just there. And they had called for the ambulance or something to come check him out, or probably in that day and age, they didn't even bother with an ambulance. They just called his parents and said, hey, you need to come get him. But it took a while. And everybody else went off to play, finished their day, and I just, for whatever reason, felt so badly for this student. He really wasn't a friend of mine. He was just a classmate. But I felt so badly. I had this sense of compassion. I didn't have any idea that's what it was, that I just sat there with him and waited and waited and waited and waited. Eventually, his parents came and picked him up, and by then, I had not gotten back to school to catch the bus. And so I walked, my grandma and grandpa lived in town, and so I walked to their house, and they called my mom, and it all, we all got home to where we needed to be. But so many times, we live life noticing the hurts of others, but not wanting to step into the hurts of others. And God says, the mercy you've received ought to build within you a compassion that joins in the sufferings of others in order to lessen that suffering, in order to help them walk through it so that they can walk out of it. Finally, this gift of mercy is not only about ministry, equality, reflection, and compassion, but this gift of mercy is about yourself. You need it as much as I need it. You need to give it as much as I need to give it. Picking up at verse 16, the response, if you see someone without clothes and daily food, our choices. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, good luck, in other words, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's easy, relatively so, to come together with other believers and worship God and boast about our faith in God, to sing songs that speak loudly about our faith in God, to talk to one another about our faith in God. But talk is cheap. It's not simply a saying. It's not simply something that I've repeated. In essence, it's what James says. He says, if you're not doing anything about it and you have the means to do so, you've kind of failed that person. But more importantly, you've kind of failed yourself. You've not lived in the image that God created you to live in. You've not lived up to the calling that God created you to live. This gift of mercy is about yourself because you've received it. You're here, especially on a cold and snowy morning, because you wanted to worship God. You wanted to express your love for Him. Because you understand His forgiveness. You understand the gift of His Spirit in your life. You understand what He's brought you from. You understand the mercy that you've received. So this gift of mercy is about yourself on the receiving end, but it ought to also be about yourself on the giving end. And I believe the Bible teaches God has knit us together, not just individually within our mother's womb, but as a body of Christ. The New Testament would talk about the Lord adding daily to His church. God puts people where they're at. We may think we're here because our job moved us here. We may think we're here because I just drove past and it looked like a good place to check out. We may think we're here because our family has gone here for generations. But in reality, we're here because God put us here. And He put us here so that we could not only receive mercy from brothers and sisters who love us, but so that we can give mercy to brothers and sisters that we love. And we grow in this gift of fellowship because of the mercy that we experience and that we give. We have fellowship one with another because of God's love and His mercy, and because of our love and mercy. We unwrap fellowship. And I believe we unwrap fellowship in a greater way as we learn to be merciful. And today, as we come to this time of decision, as I say each week, if there's those that are here, those watching online, participating online, and you've never surrendered to Jesus, this gift of mercy is God's gift to you. He not only wants to not hold you guilty for your sins, He wants to give you a great gift of value, of salvation, of His Spirit. If you've never accepted that, I'd love to talk with you about that. We sing a song of decision here, and when you're here, you can always join me in the room to my left. Or if you're watching online, reach out, Facebook Messenger, or give me a call here at the church. And we can have that conversation. But generally, if we're gathering together to worship God, if we're taking time out of our day to worship God, even through the online services, we do so because God's in our life. His Spirit leads us. And yet there's still a decision for every one of us. And that decision, I believe, today is, how will this gift of mercy improve my fellowship with one another? Maybe there's grudges that you've held against somebody else, and God says it's time to let that go. Maybe there's just things going on that the Spirit has prompted you to help with, and you said, I don't want to. Maybe you have a hard time forgiving yourself, a hard time receiving God's mercy, a hard time believing that God won't hold such and such against you. And your decision might be to receive that gift of God that sets you free. Whatever that decision is, we're going to sing a song of decision. If you need to pray with someone to pray with you, say each week, you're welcome to just find somebody near you and say, hey, can you pray with me? You're also welcome during this song to join me in the room to my left, and I can pray for you. We can pray together. Just reach out. Not just on Sundays when we gather, but as you discover, as you live life through the week, that you need mercy. Reach out to somebody. Say, hey, can you pray for me? As you discover times throughout the week to express mercy, reach out and give it. Would you stand as we sing?